Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The XFL Gambling Podcast North Division Conference Preview on the Sports Gambling Podcast Networks, presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in game odds, WynnBET is what you need to win. Sign up today. Bet $100. Get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Squares Contest. That's not the $1 million game as we know the XFL to be back in the day. We're talking about the Super Bowl here going on in just a week here or so. $1,000 up for grabs in the prize pool, completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today.
Hey folks, this is Bud Foster. You're listening to SGPN. Let's let it ride.
The XFL. Yes, it is. Do I not currently have a pulse? Yes, I do. Let's play football.
This is the XFL. Welcome to the XFL Gambling Podcast. North Division Conference Preview. If you're wondering just who the hell you're listening to, well, my name is Colby Swiggin' Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
And you're nothing but a chameleon, lemon-headed, coward, terrorist pussy. And I'm after you, buddy. You're going to pay for it. Good night.
Oh, I am after you, buddy. You are going to pay for it. Good night. Shout out to David Thompson. Do yourself a favor and YouTube David Thompson at the City Hall or some shit like that. I am joined by my co-host. Oh, man, the host of Bottom Line Pops. Have you checked that podcast out? Oh, well, you need to. All right. He's also a hilarious stand-up comedian pal of mine. Give it up for CJ Sullivan.
Thank you, Colby. I just wrote that down. David Thompson, City Hall. I am the man in the box as well. I like to hyper.
I'm sorry. I fucked that up.
No. I like that theme of what we put all our 15 like different nicknames, like Apollo Creed coming in, Master Disaster, all that.
Like that.
And then we swing it on over to our simple man.
Yes.
We J-Mark, but thank you.
Yes. Oh, you're very welcome. And we are joined by third man in the booth. I like to think he's in Waterloo, Iowa right now, but I have no fucking idea. He's somewhere in Iowa. Give it up for host of the Old Fashioned Football Podcast. Go check that out. Go drink an Old Fashioned. Hang out with this guy. Give it up for Justin Mark, a.k.a. J-Mark. So I'm giving him nicknames now, too.
Double Whiskey Liquid Lunch J-Mark. I love it. Coming in hard.
Winterset, Iowa. You're close.
In his contract. Yeah, Winterset, Iowa.
How far from Waterloo?
About 2 hours.
See, every time I just think of Waterloo, I don't know why. I feel like there might have been a movie. I don't know. But look, I mean, this is the XFL. We're not that far away from Waterloo having a fucking franchise. All right?
How about just finding out that J-Mark demanded in his work contract 2 whiskeys a lunch?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he says.
Yeah. And you know.
And that's the kind of respect he deserves, and he gets it.
Now, did you say whiskeys or did you say 2 cocktails? Maybe you keep it to a hard seltzer? Did they try to push back in this negotiation saying,
only drink whiskey. Come on.
That's the host of Old Fashioned Football right there. Love that lunch policy.
Right.
I thought here at SGPN, that was the only place in America that still had that lunch policy. You know what I mean?
I like, he got it in writing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Had your legal team look at that. All right. So look, another week closer to kicking it off or whatever the fuck they do with the ball now.
I also want to add real quick, if we can add to your name as well, I like DJ Dundee as well. Ooh. Because you are a maestro on the soundboard.
Oh, man, yeah.
And the way he, I mean, he plays this.
Scrolling around
the soundboard, and it's coming like Amadeus up there. Like, it's getting, the hands are flowing high.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. So when this SGPN, this XFL gambling podcast really blows up, I can also tour with my soundboard.
That'd be an amazing.
There's some tour dates.
I think we should definitely get a road show going.
I mean, what's his name?
How can we not get a road show going? I mean, opening up the cold open with the soundboard of just XFL banging soundbites from the SGPN.
At some nightclub, you know, you see tons of DJs now that don't
DJ. Daytime only, like 2:15 to 3 o'clock slot.
Throw your hands up. Yeah. Throw your hands up.
A J Mark whiskey lunch, and we're hammering soundbites at you. You know, at OTBs around the country.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm excited.
I love it. Sorry, I didn't mean to distract. That's how it happens.
No. You're not distracting at all here. This is the Extreme Football League. We talk about things that are extreme.
We need content anyway.
Yeah, we need to stretch. I was actually hoping we could turn.
Stretch marks the spot.
I thought we needed to do. I thought we needed to do 20 minutes on his lunch. On his lunch policy.
I'm so curious. Maybe we should tune the listeners in. We just found out before we went on air. You take a lunch break whenever you want to, because you obviously make demands, J Mark.
Yeah,
that's right.
At your employee. So I'll take the lunch. I'll do this show, and then you contractually had to start drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I forgot. I have to have two drinks during lunch because that's per my demands.
And he didn't give us a hard out, which means he's a little lenient.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, who says this podcast isn't going to be 4 hours long?
Well, fantastic company. Yeah, right? And the company said, absolutely. Anything to get the talents of J Mark locked down. You take two whiskeys or five normal drinks, whatever you like to do.
What kind of whiskey you work with over there?
So right now I got Cody Road, their experimental series. That's an Iowa one.
Experimental.
You guys got the Cody Road bourbon in the studio there somewhere.
I was drinking a lot of that Cody Road. I think it might be complete now. Shout out to Cody Road.
This is it's bourbon finished in Merlot barrels. It's pretty good.
Wow. Now what makes an Iowa? Normally when you think of whiskeys.
Think Kentucky.
Yeah,
right?
You think it's certainly think Kentucky bourbon. You think Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah, something racist. Hey, right?
Yeah, you can even go up to Canada. You can go to Ireland, Scots. A lot of it's what. So you do have you do have the makings of it. Yeah.
I'm not saying you're racist. Iowa. I'm just saying that normally, you know.
Besides the racism, what makes Iowa whiskey good? That's what Colby's trying to say. I'm saying
it's that Iowa corn. Most of the distilleries here they use corn. Iowa corn.
I've always wondered.
Interesting.
I've always wondered why, like, Nebraska didn't kill it when it came. The Cornhuskers should be killing it with the old.
Not to step in for J Mark, but as any good Iowan will tell you, right? The reason why Iowan corn is better than Nebraska shit is the soil.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
And God's rainwater, right?
God's water and soil. It doesn't rain on Nebraska's flat ass.
And just because it's Nebraska.
It's Nebraska, of course. I'm just joking.
Shout out to our live listeners, too. Ryan Mack in the chat. This is the XFL. Nick Fortune, let's fucking go. I'm on lunch break. Who doesn't drink whiskey during
God
lunch
damn
break?
Right. True. Nick Fortune.
Well, and nowadays, this is part of the thing of like getting, you know, if you're working from remote, before you had to worry about drinking whiskey on lunch because of the breath, that's why you would go vodka. Now, anything flies.
Now you're at home. I mean? You don't even need clothes with your whiskey. He can already get past that step.
You guys are lucky I'm dressed. That's all.
Amen. Amen there. But you know who's not going to be dressed this year? We had some roster news. Our boy.
Should we cut right to the top or should we tease this thing? Yeah. I mean, J Mark, I kind of want these whiskeys to settle in.
Yeah.
Because J Mark has been teasing with us in the behind the scenes production of this.
I got a text at 5 a.m. saying the Vegas Vipers can go to hell in a handbasket.
We have an epic J Mark Iowa whiskey rant coming up on the Vegas Vipers and them doing dirty.
Yeah.
The alternative football legends.
So we got some news out of Vegas.
Might as well get to it.
Feel free. Brian Scott, who was a very successful quarterback in the TSL, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Then he went to the USFL, had a cup of coffee and a couple games, played great for the Philadelphia Stars.
Yes, he did.
But yep. Then he got injured, and then Case Cookies came in and took the Stars to the USFL championship. And Brian Scott kind of was a man without a country. So he had to head over to the to the XFL.
And the XFL welcomed him.
Yeah.
Brought him in, had him, "Why don't you lead one of our flagship
programs?"
Right.
Yeah, teams.
Teams. Las Vegas Vipers, yeah. Hometown of the original XFL training camp where all the teams went in there.
Yeah.
Kind of, I mean, they're a staple.
And then he got released this past week. Talk to us.
Yeah, I'm going to jump right into this. First of all, I can't name my sources, but from sources, because there's all these rumors flying around that, well, he wasn't really good at training camp and the team wasn't happy. Right. Well, why were they putting him in all the fucking promos?
First of all,
if they're not happy with him.
Okay.
Second of all, when he was signed, you know, they said kind of the same thing they did with the quarterback they brought in, but they signed him and said, "Hey, you're our starter." Before any competition happened, they told him that.
Actually never good, though, in my opinion. No disrespect to Brian Scott, but like, that's never good. This is America. We like competition. All right.
100% agree. And then I've talked to a couple players. I cannot name their names. They asked me not to, but each one of them said, "We look to Brian as our leader, as our quarterback." So any of this shit coming out about, "Oh, he wasn't picking it up in training camp," not true. But anyways, the Vipers decided to bring in 30-year-old Brett Hundley. Who you might remember back from 2012 to 2015 with UCLA.
Yeah.
Best year was 29 touchdowns and 11 interceptions.
Yeah.
Played in the league, though. Right?
He did.
Backed up Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yep. And in the NFL, 59.1% completion rate. Lovely. Lovely. I know it's a different level of play.
Let it out.
He's been on and off practice squad since then, but let's go over Scott's achievements. Before he even turned 19, International Federation of American Football, World Cup gold medal.
Oh, I see.
World Cup MVP, SCAC Newcomer of the Year, two-time first team.
What is an SCAC Newcomer of the Year?
Southern California. Right.
Yeah. He could be working for you, for all I know. That's his employee of the month to rattle it off.
That's his Occidental College accolade. It's the Southern California Alliance Conference. It's a Division III school. He was the player of the year, two-time TSL League MVP, TSL champion. In the USFL, before he got hurt, he was throwing 70.6% completions. Let me read Huntley's achievements here real quick. Second team All Pac-12.
Right.
That's a little unfair, man. All right, look,
I understand.
No, I love it.
Brett Hundley, if he would have played D3 football, they'd have a fucking statue built with him.
Terrible.
Should have.
Allegedly.
Out of Whittier Community College. All right. Like, let me tell you, this is in Vegas. What if he's having a few? What if the policy of the XFL is you can't have a couple of whiskey lunches, CJ?
Could is that the thing? Brian Scott, maybe in Vegas, you think that'd be counterproductive. I think you would have to do it. But so now you're doing I'm trying to understand the situation here.
So
do you think Hundley just became available? So then Scott's like, "All right, get me out of here." Cause I heard Brian Scott asked for his release and he did. And he's out. He's in limbo right now. He might go back to USFL or as I'm hoping, and I'm sure you're hoping, and the rest of the alternative football crazies. I love this guy so much. I hope he picks up at another XFL team.
Absolutely.
And comes right back in Vegas Vipers throat.
Oh, that, agreed. That's great content there.
How do you not do that? Yeah, how do you not set up the revenge angle?
Now, what team is the weakest at quarterback that could perhaps sign Brian Scott?
So they're saying that the Guardians are interested in him. I know they just signed Paxton Lynch, but Paxton Lynch also hasn't done much. So I think the Guardians are a great spot for him. They were kicking around the tires on Huntley for a while. They kept, they didn't know if he would be available, I guess.
Okay.
He finally told them, "Yeah, I'll play for you." And they said, "Okay, you're our starter." Again, a thing where you come in, you don't compete.
Yeah.
I'm fine with this situation. If they bring him in and he beats Scott out, in a competition, then I'm perfectly fine with it.
Right.
But this whole thing where, our starter.
Yeah. They say that in order to sign him, say you're going to be the starter, but you're saying they did the same thing to Scott though too, which just seems like this is.
I think the real core of the problem might be Rod Woodson.
That's kind of like
player. Most of the time, great players
right.
aren't great coaches.
It's kind of like those relationships that you start off, like you start off by like you're cheating on your girl and she's cheating on her guy. Then all of a sudden you can't believe they cheat on you later down the road. Well, that's how you started. You started with cheating. There's going to be cheating at the end.
That happened with OJ. OJ was cheating.
Yep.
OJ was cheating on his wife. And then when his wife starts seeing Marcus Allen and then some guy returning his glasses, or her glasses, it took a dark turn. It took a dark turn. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty shocking news though. Pretty shocking news because I feel like everybody thought Brian Scott, and look, I was one that last year, Brian Scott was in the USFL.
Mm-hmm.
He got injured and, you know, the alt world.
I love him.
This is a big deal.
And I think J Mark represents this swelling for him, this love for him.
So I got in trouble. Well, not in trouble, but a lot of people were tweeting me talking shit because I said, look, I like Brian Scott.
Yeah.
I thought he was playing good for the Philadelphia Stars, but, when he got injured, they're like saying, oh, this is so terrible. And I go, I don't know. Cookus looks all right. I was like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like he'll get back. Scott will get back from his injury. He'll be all right. He acted like he fucking had his, you know, legs amputated.
Right.
Here. Like, it's like the guy will be back. All right. And the whole world was saying like, oh, it's this, oh, we got to care about the player so much here. And I'm like, well, I mean, Cookus is pretty fucking good. I don't see, like, come on. Is there really that big of a difference? It didn't look like it for the Stars.
Well,
With all due respect to Brian Scott, I think he's a good player, but I'm saying, like, the difference between these quarterbacks, I don't think is gigantic. Cook has played great for the Stars. So I don't think it's like, oh my God, how are we going to tune into the game, CJ?
It's, you know, yeah, it's a personal passion. I think J-Mark, run down the credits again for Brian Scott. At 19, he won the World Cup Gold Medal in the International Federation of American Football. So he started off as an alternative football player. I'm starting to realize why he's so beloved. You know what I mean?
I love his hustle. Yeah. He's played in all these leagues, but I'm just saying, like, clearly it wasn't a big deal for the Stars. They went to the USFL Championship.
And to be honest with you, I think, it's a no-brainer. You got Brett Hundley, you're playing Brett Hundley. I think that's what's happening.
Interesting thing is the Stars only have one quarterback on their roster and it's not Case Cookus. So, he's got ties with Coach Andrus, Brian Scott does. So does he go back to the Stars? That's what I'm waiting to see. Because Cookus also, he doesn't have a job right now. Neither one of them do.
Interesting.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, come on. Like, I know we're in this day and age where, you know, college players, oh, we got to give them everything now. You know, they've been bringing so much money and look, they've been treated unfairly for a long time. But at the same time, let's not bullshit our audience here. There's not much of a difference between the second string quarterback on the Michigan Panthers and the second string quarterback on the New Orleans Breakers or whatever teams we use, BC Lions. It's all about coaching. They're all pretty talented to get to that level and just to be playing a sport for money. You have to be somewhat talented.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I don't know, but I do want to see Brian Scott. I love the grind. To me, it's one of my favorite things about doing these alt leagues, these podcasts, is you see the passion and what it takes to not give up on your dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is awesome. That is awesome to watch.
Colby, I can see your little gun shy, a little trick to talk any shit on O'Brien Scott. You don't need that swelling coming out.
Well, world, all of a sudden, I'll sign into Twitter and there'll be like 10,000 people tweeting me. How could you? The players make the league.
You don't need
those.
I'm
like, no, kind of don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't need those Scott heads coming at you. Yeah. Like the Taylor Swifties coming at you.
This is where everybody will call me biased, but I have spoken with Brian. He is 100% healthy. So he recovered from his injury fine. He's ready to go.
All right.
And just to, I guess, push farther into my nerdism of other non-NFL football leagues. Interesting that you say the CFL and the BC Lions, because they just lost Nathan Rourke to the Jaguars. What a perfect spot for Scott to land, I think,
if
he wants to play in the CFL.
I've been a Nathan Rourke fan since he was a freshman with the Ohio Bobcats and the Mac, baby. Yep. But there's spots. Look, that's what's great is there are opportunities. Football, for a long time, you didn't have these opportunities.
No.
Basketball, you can go play in like every fucking country. But football, you were like, well, if the Hamilton Ticats aren't picking me up, I'm kind of assed out. You know what I mean? So look, we wish the best.
We wish the best for Brian Scott. Keep in contact with him if he wants to air any of his grievances here about those crooks in Vegas. Those goddamn cheaters who want to.
I would love. I mean, look, does he still have to check with? I mean, come on, we can get him on the show, right?
Yeah, I'll ask him.
I would love to hear his side. Right.
We just went live saying that we could probably get you on the show. Now you got to come.
Absolutely. With this open door policy for Brian Scott.
I would love to hear what he said. Maybe he's like, this Rod Woodson guy, let me tell you. He might have had three picks in a game for the Niners, but not the Steelers, the Niners.
Yes.
And he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. This is Willis Reed 2.0 here.
There you go.
Or Michael Jordan. Remember, Michael Jordan took Kwame Brown. You know what I mean? How'd that work out for the Wizards? All right, let's dive into this. People are wondering what the fuck we're actually talking about here.
Should we continue on the Vipers?
Yes,
yeah,
sure,
yeah. Let's we should finish off the Vipers here. Rod Woodson's Rod Woodson's restaurant went belly under Station Square in Pittsburgh, by the way, as soon as he left town. Anyway, go ahead. Belly
talking
up.
About
belly
Rod
under?
Woodson,
I think it's
not...
made up belly under.
Belly under.
The belly up and under routine. That old move.
Brian Scott went belly under at with the Vipers.
He did go belly under. And he can belly up to the bar here for a whiskey lunch and XFL Vegas Viper vengeance talk.
Here's my favorite part about the Vegas Vipers, by the way. I know we're going to talk transactions here. They're playing at Cashman Field and not that EDM club.
Really? The hock, not the hockey puck.
Yeah, yeah.
They should play at the.
The hockey puck. No, I was talking about the Raider Stadium.
Oh, the right. Yeah,
the EDM club. Right.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
That
yeah
where the Knights played. Right. No, I don't know.
No, the Raiders is the hockey puck because it's black.
Oh, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
I thought it was a Vegas Knights.
But that is an EDM club.
Yeah, that is. But look, here's what I like, and look, to me, it's not. It's like. You know, you get these stadiums with like 100,000 and then you play a game and especially in these alt leagues, there are like six people there. So it looks bad for television.
And it sounds bad. It's terrible.
And they're playing at Cashman Field. This thing seats 12,000 by far. The closest stadium in the XFL to that would be the Arlington Renegades with 25K. 12,000. These games are going to be fun. We're going to one of these.
There's so many little perfect. Vegas is perfect because there's so many little theaters in there. Like, can we do like Celine Dion's theater when she's on an off day? You know what I mean? Like, or
get the Blue Man Group.
The residency's going on there. Circuit du Soleil's probably got some nice traps set up for him.
All right, talk to me about. I noticed Cashman Field. I'm excited.
Yep,
it's so much better than the Battlehawks. The Dome at America's Center. There you go.
What about those other quarterbacks that are on this roster?
Make sure you
still
see Santa Claus before you catch the game.
I was rooting for that Luis Perez, the Harlan Hill Trophy winner from A&M Commerce.
Don't get me started on him again.
I don't understand. The alt world. The alt world loves Brian Scott.
Oh, but they hate Perez. Was he not a 19-year-old darling of the World Cup Gold International HF Football League?
There are a lot of Luis Perez truthers. I'm just not one of them.
All right.
I don't think he's a bad quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I just think he's more of a game manager.
All right.
I haven't seen the flash. I don't know what Rod Woodson's doing with this roster, though. They're down to two running backs, and that's DeAndre Torrey out of North Texas and Rod Smith out of Ohio State, who probably just stuck around because his name's also Rod. but Matt Jones said, I'm going back to the USFL. I don't want to play in the XFL. And then they cut their second-round pick, John Lovett, out of Penn State.
Ooh.
And again, they don't talk about injuries, so maybe it's injury related, but they did not put him on the reserve list.
Could just be Vegas related. Let's not throw that out of the equation either. Yeah. Just being in you could have a Vegas related injury off the field problems. I mean, the Raiders can barely all the Raiders first round picks are all in jail
in
or dead
or
now. Let
you.
Alone these guys, you know.
In the '80s, they would encourage you to get a prostitute. But now, if you get a prostitute, it's a little bit of a marketing problem.
Yeah, now you're now you're picking off old ladies on the way back from Topgolf in
even
the middle.
Even though it's legal, legal.
Jesus.
It's interesting because they don't have their second round pick, their fifth round pick, their seventh round pick, their 11th round pick. All of them gone.
Yeah. You think is Woodson also in charge of the budget? Maybe he's taking the budget to the craps tables.
Don't they have like a 90-man roster too?
You know how they risk our 401(k)s now. These guys are taking the entire salary budget and they have it on 26 red.
26. I get the reference.
Absolutely.
They are stacked at wide receiver, though.
They got Martavis Bryant, Jeff Badette, Geronimo Allison they just brought in.
Ooh, Geronimo Allison. Packer. Yes.
Yeah, Matthew Sexton, Saeed Blacknall. They also got Vic Beasley, who we cannot forget.
Love
played
Vic
very
Beasley.
Well in the NFL with lucky sacks.
Sacks, according to the advanced statistics.
Yeah. No, but what about that? Don't they have like an 80-man roster? So they had to make a lot of cuts, right?
70. So yeah, they did have to cut down quite a bit.
So
they
just did it alphabetically, right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'll find some running back. I'm not panicked here. Like, I mean, even the draft picks, man, like, you see it in the NFL. I think that, like, but the NFL, you're looking at just they're, you know, a different level of talent.
Right.
Meaning, like, your first round talents are going to be able to be day one impact players. When you're looking at this, everyone's on the same level. So, you know, your third round pick, oh, you got to cut him because this guy that was working for the Ryder Moving Company, who spent 2 years at Itawamba Community College can fucking play. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, those aren't as big of red flags as they would be to me if it was the NFL or something like that.
No, agreed. And that is one of the things I like about spring football is it doesn't matter where you're drafted. Everybody's getting paid the same. So I do like that about spring ball.
Yeah. So it will be interesting. I will say this though. There are red flags on Rod Woodson being a coach. Cause I don't know that this guy's, I mean, we'll see. Most great players. Can we think of like some really great players that were great coaches? I mean, I guess you could say what Vrabel's was a good player. He's a decent coach, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Usually it doesn't work. Cause they're usually like, why don't you just be better? Like, well, why don't you teach us how? I don't know. I'm just bored that way.
Kellen Moore, hell of an offensive coordinator. I think Kellen he should get Moore. A head coaching job.
Right.
Yeah. I'm a Boise State fan though. So I'm biased there.
There we go. Smurf turf, baby.
yeah.
All right. Well, what else should we note about the, this team? When you look at, the Vegas, I guess.
Who does Rod Woodson look like? I'm trying to realize. Elda Barge. I'm trying to think. He kind of got that. He's got not a Jerry curl, but he has a nice wet hair to himself, you know. And I think I'm.
but I mean, like, what is his? You know, this is a guy who played for the Steelers, ground and pound. Bam Morris. You know, Merrill Hodge.
Yeah.
Bill Cowher. You know, Dick LeBeau.
One of the 75 best players of all time. He made that list, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a bit surprised he does have only two running backs, DeAndre Torrey and Rod Smith. But I imagine they're going to pick up someone before the season starts.
But the more you say like that, because he was such a great, incredible Hall of Fame player. Of course, he's going to be a terrible, terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to let you guys know. I'm fading the Vipers.
This is easy early fade, especially they're giving the playbook to Hundley. You know who's
taking over Hundley. God. They cut God.
What's he got? and he's got 2 weeks to pick up these plays.
Yeah.
Granted, who knows how deep Rod Woodson's playbook is and how they. I mean,
run right.
It might be five pages. Throw it to Martavis Bryant and let talent take over. Vic Beasley, you have some lucky sacks, and we get the hell out of here.
Interesting enough, the only team that does not have a listed offensive coordinator.
Oh, Vegas Vipers.
So I don't know if Woodson's the OC. I don't know.
Such a disaster.
I can call the plays. Like I played football my whole life. I can call the fucking plays.
But they do have Bob Wiley, offensive line coach from the Browns guy from Hard Knocks with the stomach.
Yeah, consult with him. Run the fucking ball.
The stomach. His stomach was an actual credited character in Hard Knocks that year.
Well, dude, honestly, like, they're on auto fade for me. This is not Brian Scott related. They're on auto fade for me because I can't trust really good players being coaches, and especially ones like he's a defensive. I can dig this. This reminds me of when Dick had traded the whole draft for Ricky Williams, because there's not many offensive players on this roster right now. I feel like everything is when I scroll down the roster, it's all offensive line and it's all defense. Which I can appreciate. Can appreciate that. But yeah, I'm fading them. Next up, let's talk about the DC Defenders.
Who I originally thought was going to be the worst team in this division. But after going through that Vegas analysis, I think DC has a chance to catapult them.
Do you think there's any chance that they will take a look at Brian Scott as well?
The Defenders? I don't. Just because of who they have on their roster. And this to me is one of the biggest kind of training camp battles leading up to the week one between Jordan Tamu and Derek King.
Yes.
Two guys with apostrophes in their name, and both can play ball. So I like Derek King here. I'm also, I'm not a Jordan Tomo truther like a lot of people are. And I just think King has a lot to prove. So I'd like to see him get the start. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see who starts there. Who do you guys like in that battle?
He's new to the roster, right? Did he come from the USFL, King, or did he cleared something, right?
Well, no, he was at the Houston Cougars and then Houston Cougars. Miami.
He was at Miami. Well, and then he...
Well, I know in college he went to Miami. That's why I remember him. Okay. But I mean, like he wasn't on the original DC Defender roster,
no,
right?
No, he was not.
No, he... Well, he was assigned, but right away picked up by the Panthers in the NFL. He That's played on their practice squad. Okay. Yeah. So then he reverted back after they got Te'amu. He came back to the team.
Yeah. No, I definitely like King in that battle because, like I said, I'm not also not a Jordan Tamer to your third, but people do love him.
Here's what I find interesting. All three of their quarterbacks, because is Dungy still there?
Yeah, they got the Syracuse guy,
he
right?
Is, yeah.
He's actually my favorite.
Yeah, well, look, this guy was an OC at, their OC, Fred Kias.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably butchering that pronunciation. Sorry.
No, no, yeah.
He was at Hampton, I just saw.
Right. He's at those historically black colleges, and he would do a lot of quarterback runnings.
A lot of option read stuff, and all three are mobile. I think you're going to see, and you can tell by the way they drafted or signed, whatever, that all three of them have wheels.
Yeah. They'll probably have to use them all.
It's very interesting to me, though. This is a race where I don't feel like one is way better than the other.
Right.
I watched Dungy at Syracuse. I watched Jordan Tomo with the Tampa Bay Bandits and shit, back to his college days. And then De'Ara King as well. I would be curious who the most accurate passer is of the three. Like, that's why it's going to be fascinating to watch. But they do have depth.
Because
I could see all three being. That's
what I'm saying. They don't have to use all three. And their offense, they say it's kind of similar to what Tennessee ran this year. Kind of like that open air read. So
that's a very simple one read offense. What Tennessee does, you know, Art Briles style.
Yeah, this is my dark. I like these. I like this DC defender team.
Yeah, tell me more about this defender team here.
Well, of course go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say they got depth at running back too.
Yes.
First round pick Abram Smith expected to get the start, but they also have Reichwell Armstead, lost his chance in the NFL due to COVID. Puka Williams, who
no I toes, is the guy Puka, with
no toes. Yeah,
unbelievable.
And Sanders Artibus only Pierce
lost two toes too, man.
Yeah, lawnmower accident. All of his toes off his right foot, and that gives him that 360 swivel pivot techniques.
You know that's a conversation. You know that's a conversation around mom. Right. Mom, I'd be in the NFL right now. You'd be paid if you didn't make me do the goddamn mowing the grass chores.
Shameful plug. You said Deion Sanders. I got a Deion Sanders signed bat that I'm selling. Anyways, I digress.
Yes. Oh,
look at this guy flipping. Look, he's got another job.
Right?
He's flipping memorabilia.
I won it in a fantasy football league, but
wow.
It
obviously means a lot. It means a lot to you right out the door, huh? Prize for the fantasy. Best offer. Jesus.
That's right.
He's like Deion Sanders, two-way sports.
Sell it back to Deion.
There's no spot for two-way sports in my fucking house.
It's the debate of whether he or Devin Hester of my Bears were a better kick returner. So, you know, that's what it is.
All right. That's a tough
they
one.
Also,
Deion's the original, though. If I'd have vowed for that, Prime is the original. Although I love Hester.
Yeah. I've always been a Fulton Walker guy myself.
they cut a good running back in Shane Simpson out of Virginia. I don't know if you guys remember him.
I do.
Yeah.
I thought he had a good shot of
DC
getting
cut
at least some playing time. Yeah. Yep.
Well, they have too many running backs.
They have a lot of running backs.
And they have a lot of decent wideouts.
Plus, I don't know the full scouting report of him, but I'd like to wager that he has all of his toes. Mm. So he does not fit the system that I'm looking for my DC defender running backs.
True. I mean, you got to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Jim Abbott?
Of course. Threw a no-hitter. One hand.
Good pitch with one fucking arm.
Mm-hmm.
Made the MLB with one fucking arm. And he was good.
Yeah.
This wasn't just a sympathy play.
He threw a no-hitter.
Unbelievable.
Put that glove on that stump there. And he had a whole technique he was bringing in there.
He was money.
They should have advertised him more, like more of a freak show to come on. Come on out like an old time P.T. Barnum. We have the one arm pitcher.
Come see the California Angels.
He's got a bat for an arm. He puts a glove on it. It's a holder. Come see Puka Williams. No toes. He's the lawnmower man. Just don't ask him to hedge your bushes.
He'll run for a touchdown.
Don't give him a weed whacker.
Wide receiver wise, I like this team. Jaquez Ezard, I've alluded to this. He was a good player in the FCS at Sam Houston State.
Mm-hmm.
I know Sammy Cobbs from the Indiana Hoosiers. And I remember Lucky Jackson. How could you forget a name like Lucky Jackson?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I love this DC squad.
This team.
And Manasseh Bailey out of Morgan State, I think, is a playmaker too. I like him. So they do have a lot of playmakers.
Yeah.
They're ready to dance, this DC squad.
Let me ask you this.
Where will they be playing at?
The Aldi Field, the base, or not the baseball, the soccer team.
Okay.
Yeah. And
big soccer contingency out there in DC. So that'd be, so I'm sure those facilities would be nice and
Reggie Barlow is their head coach. And I remember watching Reggie Barlow back in the day because he played at Alabama State and played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wide receiver, if memory serves me correct.
I like their defensive line. Davin Bellamy out of Georgia. He looked good for the Breakers last year.
Okay.
Got a tryout with the NFL. That's why he was able to be drafted right away.
He was a baller for the Breakers last year.
They got Reggie Northrup at linebacker. Also played in the USFL and I thought did very well.
For the Gamblers, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, he was good. He was good, too.
So, yeah, I think this team, I mean, they're pretty solid across the board. It'll come down to that quarterback competition. But the good thing about that is one starts sucking week one, you got two more options that can probably run the offense well.
He's got a pretty – see, this is why I trust them way more than Vegas. He coached at Alabama State, his alma mater, went 49-42 over 8 years. Then he went to Virginia State with the Trojans of Virginia State. And 9-2, 10-1, then 4-5, then 8-2, then COVID. And then when he came out of COVID, you know, had a bad year, 3-6, and resigned. But this guy's got coaching chops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the defenders' chances of winning this division.
Wow.
A lot better than I do the old Vegas Vipers.
Vegas absolutely fade these Vegas. Yeah.
And let's not forget, the DC crowd was great. When they had the old team, the 2020, they had the beer snake going. Remember that?
Yes.
They were having fun.
They need a little fun in that town when it comes to football.
They do.
We got a writer on our staff, Andrew Pettit, big DC Defenders fan that educated me on the beer snake. So he has pictures of it, and that looks like quite the experience.
Oh, yeah. I plan on getting out there for a game at some point, whether it's this year or next year. But, Nick Fortune says, a question, are the players paid better in the XFL or the USFL?
Yeah, good question. J Mark?
Yeah, I was going to pop. I still don't have the ability to pop those questions up onto the screen here. I believe it's pretty even. XFL was going to be paid more.
There it is.
But then the USFL was able to strike that deal with the union. And now they're going to have, I think it's pretty even in pay. The USFL might be a little bit more. I'd have to spot check
that. If I was to make a guess, I'd say USFL, they're paid slightly better above the table. Yeah. And XFL will give you more Vince McMahon duffel bags slid underneath
the old SEC way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Royal Rumble first row tickets.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Front row tickets.
I think I heard, though.
Free
that
steroids, anything you need.
Gold cars.
Right.
I think I heard the USFL was too. But that makes sense because Fox owns them. Like Fox has
Rupert
Murdoch blood money.
XFL is there's a more diversified way just to get paid.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of currencies of what you want. You know, how would you like this?
All right. Well,
is there anything we could take care of for you? That kind of situation. So.
So yeah, Aldi Field seats. Oh, I'm sorry, Aldi Field seats 20,000. So that would be the second lowest. But that's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I feel like in 2023, or, you know, and I keep sounding like get off my lawn, no pun to the Puka Williams situation, but what I mean is that, like, look, football's not, this is an easy game to play, guys. I think you do smaller stadiums, you pack the crowds, and you make it an intimate experience. I remember, do you remember when the Chargers played at the
loved it, the soccer stadium?
Oh, that was awesome, man.
Guaranteed rate or whatever it was. Awesome. It was amazing.
The best way to catch an NFL game.
It was awesome. You went there, not a bad seat in the house, obviously, and like, you know, it's like the Chargers were couch surfing in LA. Like, all right, you can crash here, play at these soccer stadium games, you know.
Dude, that was fantastic.
It was amazing.
I'd compare it to like going to see a UFC fight. It was like a football.
Yeah, you could cook in the stands. People were showing off flares. No one mattered.
It was great. So Aldi should be rocking again, and the Defenders I think are a threat to win the North Division. Now let's go to let's go to our guy June Jones, who you know, surprised he wasn't a head coach. He's only got the best record in XFL coaching history. They brought him back as an OC though of the Seattle Sea Dragons.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
This is at Lumen Field, seats 69,000. See, like, I know that their fan base actually was pretty good for the Seattle. Weren't they just the Dragons before, but now they're the Sea Dragons?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, what opted that sea change?
Yeah. Because we have the Seahawks too.
Is that what they're doing? The Seahawks, Seattle, Sea Dragons.
Seattle.
You can't just make up your own animal. I don't mind the Sea Dragons because dragons are already mythical. So might as well create a fictional Sea Dragons, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is the Loch Ness Monster, right?
Right.
This is what they're doing here.
Real quick on what you were saying about the stadiums. I hope the XFL does their cameras better than the USFL, because I was at the playoffs for the USFL and I saw all the comments of, oh, nobody's at the game. Nobody even went to the playoffs. But they specifically said before it started, hey, these are the stands that are going to be shown on camera. Well, it was right in the sun, and not many people wanted to sit right in the sun for 6 hours for two games. So they were all in the shade. But they told us, like, if you want to be on TV, sit over here. So hopefully the XFL portrays that a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't think XFL is going to have that problem, because I think of XFL
in the home cities.
Right. They're in the home cities and the network, and it's the headhunters coming from Vegas and all that. They know how to do holograms. They know how to make it. They know how to make a show. That's what I'm trying to say. You know,
I like it. True. I like it. And I actually think Seattle, even though 69,000, Seattle's
big packing
stadium,
them out.
I think they're going to be pretty good.
They love it.
They show up to their soccer team stadiums.
They love soccer, right? They love anything to distract themselves from being in Seattle.
So Jim Haslett's their head coach.
Haslett's head coach. June Jones is running the offense, and Ron Zook is running the defense.
This team's going to win it all.
That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong brain trust.
I mean, June Jones is so far ahead of. First off, he's like a legend in these leagues. He took the Hamilton Ticats far in the CFL. He played in the fucking CFL for the Argonauts, if memory serves me correct. Then in the NFL, he's taken the Falcons to the playoffs before as a head coach. He went to Hawaii. He's known to this day, the greatest turnaround in college football history. He took over a 0-11 Hawaii Rainbow team, and the next year won 9 games, if memory serves me correct.
Turned the Rainbows into Warriors.
Yes, he turned the team. and I mean, we saw it with the Roughnecks. He was undefeated as a head coach. That's why it's almost mind boggling that he's not a fucking head coach in the
XFL. How did they even get him out of Hawaii? Because wasn't he just living there, like, so post stuff? Because
is he via Zoom coaching? Is he just chilling?
Right. Because he's the kind of guy who puts that Hawaiian shirt on. He's like, well, this is never coming off the rest of my life. This is going to be my entire lifestyle and personality.
They got Ben DiNucci, the quarterback from JMU.
DiNucci.
I imagine he's kind of a statue. He's kind of a lawn chair statue. I imagine that's their option. I know Steven Montez from Colorado. He's kind of an athlete.
Right.
Though. I don't know that fits in June Jones' system.
I kind of want Montez to win that job. I like Ben DiNucci and all, but if Ben DiNucci does well in the XFL, it'll give ammunition to the people that look down on leagues like this, you know, like for your NFLers, or if you want, like, oh, if Ben DiNucci is good in that league, because Ben DiNucci was historically bad with the Dallas Cowboys on that one stretch, you know, which isn't his fault. He comes in there as a backup, you know,
right?
Play for the Cowboys.
You know what I mean? It just means you're never going to be successful at life ever again.
except
for Roger Staubach.
He's a hero to me. Yeah right. he enters Quincy Cata status with me.
What were you going to say?
Oh, they cut quarterback Brian Lewerke out of Michigan and added quarterback Harrison Frost out of West Georgia. So
that's the enigma there. Harrison Frost, because I didn't watch West Georgia. I knew Brian Lewerke, classic lawn chair for Michigan State. That's what they do there.
Yeah.
So that one's kind of the wild card there, because you never know with June Jones. I can tell you that. You never know. Like, if he sees someone he likes, I mean, him himself, he was a quarterback at Portland State back in the day. And
West,
you know,
George
playing for Mouse Davis, you know, West Georgia.
West Georgia sounds like a place you just don't want to get lost in.
Yeah, outcast.
Like, if you get like a phone call, like, oh, you got a phone call. Yeah, I'm at this. Oh, you're in West Georgia. Yeah. I don't know. You better get out of there. They do not like your kind in West Georgia.
Talk to me about the rest of this roster, because I can tell you this. I think hands down, hands down, they're the best coached team. Hands down to me. Like maybe you can make a case for Stoops. He won at Oklahoma. After that, like, okay, right. Wade Phillips, he doesn't have the best track record as a head coach. I think he does know a lot about football.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Buckley's never been a head coach. Hines Ward's never been a head coach. Anthony Beck, I'm still mad at him for holding against the Steelers on that Lamont Jordan 40-yard touchdown run to the playoffs. He can't be a good coach.
Nope.
I'm joking, but...
no, you're right about that. He's from Delran, New Jersey. Yeah, Those are fucking brickheads.
And then Ron Woodson, so... I do think they have a leg up when it comes to coaching here. Now, talk to me about the rest of the roster.
I know they have Josh Gordon. That's all.
It's legal.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
Josh Cush Gordon.
Yeah, I like it. I like their receiver group. I think Kevin Shaw, Juwan Green, and Josh Cush Gordon bring a lot. I think TJ Hammonds, he's out of Arkansas. He's a good running back. Little surprised they did cut Ladarius Galloway out of Tennessee Martin. I actually liked him. I thought he was going to be a good running back. And Rashard Davis out of James Madison. Those are two guys that I thought were going to be able to make an impact at this level in spring ball.
Both cut.
But yeah, both cut. And defense, though, I feel like aside from Trey Walker, who played for the Maulers last year, there's a little bit to be desired, I guess. I don't know a lot of these names, and you know, they could, of course, in spring ball, any name can prove you wrong, but there's not a lot of names that jump out at me on defense.
But that's the thing. That's why you got to trust Jim Haslett. That's been his forte for fucking like 30 years.
And he's got Zook helping him out.
Yeah, and Ron Zook, who knows the defensive side of the ball as well. So that's why, like, I'm with you. I look at this and I go, huh. I see a few guys that, you know, the names ring from college, but they never really made an impact in the pros on any level. So,
I like that center they have from Alabama, Chris Owens. Is that, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was great at Alabama.
There you go.
Obviously.
So get some of that Saban talent.
You know what I mean?
Some of that Saban talent. Yeah. I think they're going to be fine though. Like, I just trust the coaching. I trust the coaching here. I think this team is going to be a tough team to beat. I'll put it like that. I think they're if I had to right now, out of the three teams we broke down, I would say Seattle would be my one. Okay. DC would be my two, and Vegas would be my three.
Interesting. Well,
I know we got one more team to talk
about.
We
do got one more team, and they are the favorite. The perennial favorite. But
and they're my one in this division.
All right. Let's get right to them then. The
Battle Hawks.
What, I mean, that's the best. Is that the best name of the division? Should we rank the names real quick, though?
This is the TV show on Comedy Central with Carmen Electra. Right.
That's when they kick someone off a boat, I think. That's what it was.
Yeah, this is probably the best name, right? We got the Vipers, the Sea Dragons, the Defenders, and the Battle. I think the
Battle Hawks by far. Yeah, that's the best.
Defenders is actually probably second, but even that. You know, better than the Commanders.
And another team with a very strong fan base. St. Louis
Battlehawks, yes.
And they play at that shopping mall. They even call it a shopping mall. They had the Dome at America's Center.
They had the Rams ripped from them. Right. And the Cardinals.
Check out the directory. All right. There's Zales. There's a Zales there. there's fucking ridiculous shit. Play this at the Cardinals. Play this at the Bush Stadium? They call that Bush Stadium. Come on, I'm gonna talk shit about this one. This team, though, my concerns are: can Anthony Beck even coach? Man, I mean, what sample size do we have that Anthony Beck knows anything about coaching here? And that's why I think we have to favor Seattle.
Yeah.
Anthony Beck was, he coached the San Diego Fleet as a tight ends coach.
Let's get into these Battle Hawks here first. So, AJ McCarron is the quarterback from Alabama. I can see Beck just giving him the job. There was a competition with the
faxing it in. Remember, this is the faxed in.
Yeah. Now, before that, did you say what is the roster updates with that? What happened with Ryan Willis? Is he still on there?
He's still on there, but they're promoing that they're doing a giveaway and it's a Ryan Willis signed hat.
That was the news. A Ryan Willis signed hat.
Interesting to me. Yeah.
Right.
Would he be QB2 and be giving the signed hat, or is that their QB1?
I can see this as part of being an XFL.
Can I have that pen?
I can see this being part of the XFL contract.
Let me sign this hat. I'm going to play Pick Dundee. Whoa, signed hat.
There
right
it is.
Here.
There's
Pick
our Dundee franchise player. Hat. We wouldn't have let him just sign a hat if he wasn't the franchise player. Thank you very much. I'd sign the Eagles hat, but Greenlaw would be fired.
If we throw this on eBay, can we have a little battle? Who gets more money?
That'd be nice. That'd be hilarious.
Now that should be a giveaway, a signed SGPN hat to like our Twitter and give us a 5-star review on Spotify.
Oh,
Where the fees and taxes to purchase it will be more than the actual product itself.
No, I like that. How about that? We'll sign a hat. If you get over to the XFL Gambling Podcast, give us a 5-star extreme review.
I like that.
And extreme review. Let's go.
I can see that being an XFL contract thing, though, where Ryan Willis, you're not going to be the starting quarterback. We have AJ McCarron. People know who he is. They know his girlfriend, the whole thing. But we'll give away some signed hats. So if you know, will that sweeten the pot? Will that sweeten the pot to make you our backup? All right, done. He's so dummy.
They are in a shopping mall. This makes sense. Just look, we can start, who needs lids? We'll just fucking do it right here. All right, save some money. Look, I can tell you this. Beck was a former tight end. I remember him. I think he went to West Virginia.
He did go to West Virginia. Memory serves and he went correct. To from Delran High School, which is the town next to me over in South Jersey.
Well,
he was
tight ends like to run the ball. Mm-hmm. I like Mateo Durant was a beast at Duke, and Brian Hill was good at Wyoming. So I do, and even Letty Brown was pretty good at Dub V.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't remember Kareem Walker too much, but if they commit to running the football, which most tight ends, I think, minus Shannon Sharp, would probably do.
Well, they have a running back, Brian Hill.
That's what I'm saying. Brian Hill was a beast at Wyoming.
He was in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right?
I liked him.
Yeah. He's a good running back. Falcons, absolutely.
Now, keep in mind, too, their offensive coordinator, Bruce Gutkowski, quarterback, drafted by Tampa Maxie. Bay, I believe.
Yeah, he was from fucking Toledo. I remember watching old Greg Kowski.
That's the big question, but he might be able to make some noise with those quarterbacks.
They got Austin Prohl, son of Ricky Prohl at a wideout.
Yes, they do.
You know,
Marcel Alderman from
Oklahoma State.
All right.
Darius Shepherd. He's one of my favorites.
Darius Shepherd, MVP of the championship game, was he not?
Yep. Yeah, he was. And don't forget, Hakeem Butler, a big time playmaker for Iowa State.
Yeah, I remember there.
Former Edmonton Elk.
Talk to me about the defensive side of the ball.
And the Eagles, of course.
real quick, their offensive line. Now, normally I look at an offensive line and I say, I don't know any of those guys because offensive linemen don't give much credit.
Right.
But Stephen Gullis out of Penn State, Deshaun Dixon out of San Diego State, Juwan Bushel-Betty out of Michigan. Those are guys, Vidal Alexander out of LSU. Those are all names that I recognize, and I feel like to be recognized as an offensive lineman, you have to be somewhat good, right?
Yeah, that's a good formula.
So those are all guys. And then the defensive line, Lakel London. Now, maybe I'm biased because he had a cup of coffee with the Chicago Bears, but Freedom Akinmuladen out of Nebraska.
He was a huge recruit for Nebraska, yeah.
Yeah, Shakir Soto out of Pittsburgh. Those guys can wreck the offensive line. So I love their defense. I like what they did with the linebackers. They have two Iowa State guys, Willie Harvey and Mike Rose, who were very good on defense. They fly around the field.
That's why he likes his team.
Yeah, I can tell. I can see why.
A lot of Iowa State. Yeah.
And his team is kind of a lot of Cyclones. I said last time during the opening thing, all I need to hear is Glenn Robinson's kid, Gellen Robinson.
Yeah, that is great.
The little big dog who played rugby.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Glenn Robinson's kid played rugby, put him on the line for these Battle Hawks.
Am I crazy?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
There's not a lot of black people playing rugby, I feel like. Too,
there's the All Blacks, but then you look deeper into it. That's just the name for New Zealand. They're not black at all.
Gotcha.
And then you find out New Zealand's actually very racist.
That's fascinating. I don't know how you just dive into rugby, but hey, right. Amen. Amen there.
Fucking with Glenn Robinson's kid of rugby play? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I think Seattle's the team to beat in the North. I'm going to say it right now. Seattle 1, DC 2, St. Louis 3,
wow.
Vegas 4. Dundee's interesting.
That's Dundee's selections.
I feel very confident though. Like I could be wrong on the DC St. Louis thing. I feel very confident with the Sea Dragons being the team to beat in the North in the Ulysses S. Grant conference.
J Mark just talked me into if I'm gonna do my four. J Mark just talked me into St. Louis. They're not gonna be my number one. St. Louis is my number two. They're overall solid team. The only thing keeping them down, as you said, is Brickhead Anthony Beck at head coach and Del Randum. Anyway,
for Herm Edwards too. You know how fucking conservative he's going to be.
Absolutely. I just remember
fourth and inches from his own 20. Let's punt.
Take the delay game. Give your punter some room to work with.
Give me your pecking order.
All right, so we'll go number four, Vegas. We're fading Vegas early and often, especially how they did the alternative football. Jesus Christ, dirty like that.
And you're in Vegas. distractions.
The distraction, right. The Vegas distraction. Should
I'm telling
be
you, you're
going to
catch who's their quarterback now?
Hundley, right?
Huntley, I give him a month. He'd probably be caught.
Was he 30? I know, right?
You know what I mean? At an Econo Lodge.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Unfortunately, Luis Perez becomes the starter of that team.
Oh, man. And I have
I'm
no problem with Luis Perez.
Probably for them.
Vegas 4. We're going to go Seattle 3. I believe.
You're going to fade June, huh?
I like Seattle, but. In order to really have a shocking pick, probably in St. Louis too. And my
defenders,
deep dog, who I think have the worst odds in the entire league. But the way I love them, the DC defenders, I think something's going on out there. I'm not sure what it is, but I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah,
you know
the beer snake. That's what sold you.
The beer snake was
this
huge.
Got the beer snake. It's gonna be tough.
My surprise division winner is DC. There
you go. So rattle off, J Mark, your pecking order in the Ulysses S. Grant Conference.
Number one, Battle Hawks. Yeah. Number two, Defenders. Number three, Sea Dragons. And number 10, the fucking Vikings for what they did to Brian Scott.
What they did
personal.
To Brian Scott.
It's personal.
That's right.
Not only what they did to Brian Scott, but now they're going to force you to watch Luis Perez, who you hate. Is that the same thing as all alternative world?
This is why it's really pissing.
Is Jalen McClendon not even a factor out there? Is he still on the roster? Wasn't he the other quarterback?
He's still on the roster. Maybe
the Baylor guy?
The dog in the fight that ends up taking over. Who
knows? Right. Can we have a happy medium?
I cannot wait. What about our coaching Royal Rumble here for this?
I was going to say real quick, I will say I am in a 24-round XFL fantasy football draft.
Whoa.
And Jalen McClendon was taken before Luis Perez.
I think that's out of spite, though. That sounds like that might have been personal and nothing to do with
me,
stats.
I promise. It was not me.
Well, it's like, do the other owners in the XFL draft have any fucking idea? Or are they just sitting there saying, this guy's better?
Yeah, I don't think many of them know.
It could be something. Yeah, they're just comparing college stats, and they're like, this guy learned how to play on YouTube, apparently. Let's not take him.
How many teams is in this XFL league that you, your fantasy league you drafted in?
There's 10, but they split it into 5 and 5 because, you only have 8 teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so you have the same, you guys can draft from the same pool.
Right. Yeah.
I understand. Mm. Who was your first pick?
My first pick was Jacques Patrick.
Yes, sir. My favorite player in the entire league.
Jacques.
Absolutely.
Earl Campbell style CTE be damned.
Yeah.
Battering rams. Right. I love Jacques.
Myth.
Love Jacques Patrick. Perfect. All right, so now was it Coach's Royal Rumble?
Yeah, but you got Barlow, you got Hazlitt, you got Beck, and you got Woodson. Probably Beck, right?
In a cage?
I can see Hazlitt being a little dirty. He's a little old, though.
Hazlitt will throw some dirt in your eye, for sure.
I mean, he played, so Hazlitt...
Woodson wants no part of that. Woodson wants no part of that smoke.
67, but he played, you know, he's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, give me Haslett.
I played for the Bills and the Jets too, cold weather teams. You know what I mean? Also coached the Sacramento Surge in the OG World Football League. This guy knows all football. That's another reason. I'm telling you, when you mix in the fact June Jones and Haslett have had so much experience, who the fuck is the Florida Tuskers? He coached the Florida Tuskers, right?
Tell ourselves the Huskers. What a great, that's taken.
What a great name what a great name for his memoirs.
The Sea Dragons.
Who the fuck are the Florida Tuskers?
The Sea Dragons are going to destroy by Jim Haslett.
That is a bestseller if I ever heard
one. I'm telling you, the odds should be Sea. We'll talk next week. We're going to go through our odds to win the championship and what our plays are. I think this you're crazy if you think the Sea Dragons are going to be bad because they have experience on these levels. Watch out. All right, cuz the Loch Ness Monster will swim in any fucking weather.
I will say that this division is way tougher I think than the South Division that
we highlighted.
That we highlighted last show,
go back and listen to that episode.
Correct.
To hear the Stonewall Jackson division. What else do we want to go out with here? Anything else we want to say before we ride off into the XFL night?
I think we gave him too much as it is. I'd like to take back some shit we said if we can. They've heard too much content. Go ahead.
We do have a Twitter now at XFL Gambling Pod. Follow the Twitter.
Yes.
Get all our shows and updates there. So make sure you follow us, and we'll probably do giveaways like the signed hat you were talking about.
Yeah. Get on over there. Give us a 5-star.
I love
review.
The signed hat.
Yeah. Take a picture of that. Send it to any three of us on Twitter to the DM saying, hey, this is my review. And then guess what? We sign this hat, we ship it out, and hopefully no one hijacks your mail because this thing is a hot item.
Hot ticket item.
Hot item. all right, folks. Well, we will be back next week. Remember, also, check out all of our work here, the College Football Experience, the College Basketball Experience, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Right.
Bottom Line Bombs.
Bottom Line Bombs, which is on the NFL feed, but it'll soon have its own feed.
Yeah.
Right after I wrap up this season, Bottom Line Bombs going year round. I'm doing a Pro Bowl preview show tomorrow, which I'm excited for. And a combination of the awards.
How do you break that down with the flag football stuff?
Well, that's what I want to do. I'm going to come up with different things they should have done instead of flag football and different events. And
you know, they need to bring back the quarterback contest.
Oh, that was amazing with that fucking the target driving across the field.
Why'd they get rid of that?
The chalked up balls. I know. Well, Randall Cunningham, he's just to dominate.
Yeah. They get rid of all these things. Patrick Mahomes could get injured, and then we wouldn't be able to have a season next year.
I know.
You know? Oh, my God. Football can't go on.
Right?
Check out Bottom Line Bombs. The man in the box, CJ Sullivan. Give him a follow on Twitter, at CJ Sullivan _. I'm on Twitter at the Colby D.
DJ Colby D.
Yes.
On the wheels and steals of that Dundee. Fucking soundboard.
Welcome to the fucking Land Down Under. And don't forget the old fashioned football podcast.
Whiskey Lunch. Whiskey Lunch himself, J Mark.
Tons of work for us. I feel like he's covering all the leagues. All right. Have you ever tuned into the ELF, my friend?
I have. I've watched a little bit of it, especially after the USFL. There was a lot of guys that had played there. So, I tuned in to see what that's about.
League of Football, folks. I tune into that. I'm a junkie.
That's pretty sick. Yeah.
Right. Arena football is back. I know you don't like football indoors, but they're going to be back next year.
Another sport, right? That's just.
Yeah. It's different, but the league is back. It's important for, a lot of these guys that aren't going to make it in the XFL or USFL. So more jobs.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Do you remember that basketball league when they're like, in trampolines?
Yes, absolutely.
What that is. That's what that is for football.
Pat Croce was
what was that shit called?
Slam ball.
Slam ball. Yeah, right.
Slam ball.
That's the equivalent of slam
ball. I said that with disdain. Like, how do you not remember slam ball? What are you talking about?
Right.
Although they do have some great names, the Iowa Barnstormers. I spent a lot of my youth watching some of those leagues, and the indoor
league, Kurt Warner. Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud,
I remember the Miami Hooters. What happened to that? We can't even have those teams anymore.
That's probably offensive. Like you said, follow old fashioned football. We got a lot of guests coming in the off season, so check that out.
There we go. Get yourself an old fashioned. Give J Mark a follow on football. I believe it's at J Mark Football. Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is the XFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.